Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
You can host the best backyard barbecue when you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside. Repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
If you thought Grey's Anatomy was dramatic, wait till you hear what Patrick Dempsey was allegedly doing behind the scenes. The shocking claims about why he left the show. Then Matt James is here live. We're getting Bridgerton secrets from Lady Whistledown herself. And we're putting Milo in the hot seat about those short shorts.
It's like, holy God, this is insane. This is crazy.
Oh, someone call 911. We've got a code black because someone just dropped a bomb about Grey's Anatomy. A new report claims Patrick Dempsey terrorized the set and was a total diva. Morgan and Aaron, how you guys feeling today?
Great. Friday. I'm pumped. I'm energized. Very
excited. Friday. It's Friday.
The songs.
We earned it. We earned it.
This week was a long week, by the way, right?
It was such a long week.
Damn.
Let's do it.
Oh, my God. Patrick Dempsey left Grey's Anatomy 6 years ago, and a new book claims it was an ugly goodbye. How to Save a Life, the inside story of Grey's Anatomy, claims Patrick was great to work with when the show first started in 2005, but over the years, he became a nightmare. The Hollywood Reporter got an excerpt from the show, from the book, where an executive producer from the show says, quote, there were HR issues. It wasn't sexual in any way. He sort of was terrorizing the set. And some cast members had all sorts of PTSD with him.
Damn.
He had this hold on the set where he knew that he could stop production and scare people. He didn't like the inconvenience of coming in every day and working. He and Shonda were at each other's throats. And of course, she eventually killed off McDreamy. Neither ABC, Shonda, or Patrick are commenting at this moment. Everyone's dirty laundry always comes out. I just don't know how this stayed secret as long as it did.
Yes, you do. We deal with this stuff every single day in and out. Erin Lim is already shaking her head in agreement with me. I feel like we live this, and it just becomes a part of your culture, and you don't realize it. There are people offset that we've been exposed to, or there are certain personalities that you would never imagine on television that are bitchy and not nice to the crew. Amen?
Amen.
Don, have you gone through that?
Fabulous.
We're all nice. But I do definitely think that we got claps.
We got some claps.
Yes. And they wouldn't lie. They'd be like, oh, we hate you. Anyway, I definitely think that this is just something. Look, I think the wording of that quote was interesting. The inconvenience of going to work every day does wear on you, especially after you've done it for many, many years and you're on the grind. You and I, Justin, are on that grind, and there are days where we come and we're like, this is too much. It's hard. Oh. And everyone else is like, but you're done so early and you only do one show and it's an hour and you're just talking. People don't understand the energy level it takes to be on television. I mean, obviously he didn't do a live show, but to be on television, do television, memorize all those lines, be around people all day long. It's like 16-hour days. It's a lot of effort, and it's very difficult to stay in a good mood all the time. Now, I definitely think you have to check yourself if you get into a place like that, and you have to remember there was a time, and I do this with my own self, there was a time you died to be where you are.
100%.
And you have to sort of pull the rope back in and have someone else in your corner be like, you gotta chill the F out.
For sure.
Yeah.
But that's still no excuse. for people taking advantage. Like when this man talked about 14-hour days and, you know, being getting to the point where he didn't even know his schedule, I think when that pressure's on you, you act out in different ways.
100%.
Granted, he was getting some 7-8 figures. You know, I would stay there 24 hours a day. I would sleep on set if people were paying me that much money. But you're right. You have to check yourself before you get to the point of resentment and before you get to anger, but I get the acting out.
But also, when you're an actor, they're also extremely creative, artsy people, and I feel like they burn out quickly in a way. Mm-hmm. Like, I feel like they're like, I had a really good point and I forgot it. It's my pregnancy brain, but
Well, let me help you.
Please.
The burnout is real, but I think that there were moments where people did have to check Patrick, and then he kind of got... He was, okay, yeah, you're right. Because they would say, look, these crew guys and everyone else has been here since 6:30 a.m. There are people who have had longer days than you. And he would kind of realize that. But then you quickly get out of it because you're on your own BS and you're like, well, I'm freaking tired. But also the unfortunate thing about this industry is that you can have one bad day, you can have one bad season, and that'll taint your entire career because there will be one person that interacts and is on the receiving end of it, and then they go and tell every single other person, and then that's your reputation. And the crew, they are not afraid to tell it like it is and say, that person's a B-word to work with.
100%.
So it is hard in this industry. It's like you could have your great days and then everyone wants to praise you for that. And then you have one bad day. And sometimes I'm even like, oh my gosh, I responded to that email way too aggressively. That's it. That's it for me.
That's it for you.
I'm going to be the B-word for the rest 100%. Of my life.
But let me just say this. Tom is not Christmas morning every morning. The crew has bad days too,
but no
and
one,
we understand that.
But Tom is on another.
Wait a minute, I'm not Christmas morning.
No, Tom, you're not Christmas morning every morning.
To me, you are Tom. Tom, you are to me. I just want to separate myself from that statement.
No, but I'm saying. But my point is, Jose has bad days. Gary has bad days. Everybody has bad days. It doesn't stick with the crew.
No, I know, because they're also not front-facing, and also I think that when you're on the talent side of things, the difference is that the perks and the lifestyle that you get to lead are different. Like, Patrick Dempsey had a 14-hour day, and he was exhausted, but, like, again, he got paid a lot of money to do his job, and he got to go live a fabulous life after. But I think when you also get to the point when you're making million-plus dollars an episode, you also want things to be really streamlined, and this is the business of hurry up and wait, which we all do. And it's one of the most taxing things to go through as a human. You get ready, you're ready to go, you're in your energy, and then you have to sit there for 2 hours and be like,
yeah,
okay, I gotta keep it, I gotta keep it, I gotta keep it, I gotta keep it.
Performing is natural.
But this is the thing about the business. Patrick Dempsey could come on that set and terrorize people, you know, allegedly terrorize people every day. I've witnessed people have bad behavior, you know, when they're higher up. And they get to do it time and time again. And the minute people lower on the totem pole have some of the same concerns, you know, it's like, oh, no, you're not there yet. You can't do that. You're done. We're out. We're done with you.
But that's always how it goes, right?
But by the way, HR, you know, the people over at Shondaland, ABC, they all created this monster because they never corrected it. If he was doing this for months and years and seasons, as they said, why didn't they nip it in the butt
in the
beginning?
Well, I think they had to let it unfold, and I think they had to let him be a human being. He was a really integral part of the show. And I think it finally got to the place where it was so bad where she did write him out. But, like, I think any of this reflects... I mean, look, Patrick could have been in a bad place in his life. Like, I don't think he's a bad guy. I don't think he's a mean guy. People find themselves in situations where they really do become increasingly unhappy and unfulfilled, and they start to act out. Like, there does need to be a little bit of that compassion as well. I mean, I've heard things about people that we work with that this woman was horrible, and literally I met her and I was like, she's wonderful. Like,
yeah.
I'm sure everyone has had a different experience with him. I don't think it was all bad, but I do think Meredith Grey was... She was like, I'm working a lot more than you, mother effer, and amen to that.
Well, they did bring him back.
It wasn't called Patrick's Anatomy.
No. That's true, but and she was probably like, why are you acting out? This is my show. But they did bring him back all of these seasons later, so it could have been a couple personal relationships that were strained behind the scenes where it's like, look, we just can't work with you. You're really hard to produce and direct and all of these things.
You know why they brought him back?
Because Shonda's out.
Because Shonda's out. She wiped her hands with it, went over to Netflix and got that big old check.
She's got
and she has
checks.
No comment, by the way.
She will never have a comment.
And you usually don't have a comment when you have a lot of comments in your mind.
Exactly.
But also, most importantly, he's still so fine.
He's so fine.
We have to congratulate
Little Nas X. He surprised us all when he announced his pregnancy, and he's already had the baby.
Lucky
that
him.
Was quick. we can happily announce the birth of Montero, his debut album. His music video for That's What I Want gets pretty racy and even includes a cameo from Billy Porter.
I need someone who needs me.
Okay.
I'm loving the look.
Oh, so good.
You know when you hit it?
Yeah.
No. What? You don't like it?
What?
Huh? No.
Who?
You got three cameras on you and Wait. Tom, who's not Christmas morning. You better tell us your opinion.
I'm here for self-expression. I'm here for artistic expression. The only thing, and this part of the video wasn't my concern, I watched the whole thing unfold. It's a great video, you know? But I feel like for Lil Nas X, I don't want him to only be defined by his sexuality. Mm. You know, there's always a makeout session. There's always this, there's always that. And I just, you know, in my 30s, I realized that I was putting my sexuality first. I was the gay best friend. I was the gay this, and I was leaning into that. And then someone said, don't let that be the only thing that defines you. Mm. But, and I say this about, you know, the girls, the rappers who are only talking about, you know, giving head and how good Whoa. Their sex is all the time. I always say, don't streamline yourself into this only moment, because what happens when you're 45 and you're still talking about sucking a watermelon through a straw? It gets old and it gets played out and everybody starts to do it. I just want him to go the Neil Patrick Harris route where, yes, Neil's gay and Neil's out and Neil's proud.
But you don't think of him being gay before everything else.
You don't think
of him. You don't want him to be identified as just by his sexuality, like the gay rapper.
Because this guy is so talented and beyond what anyone else is putting out there in the game. I just don't want him to roll out there with the flag.
No, I think he's proud of being a homosexual male, and I think he is really owning that, and I feel like he came out with it and then is now really just embracing that part of himself. And he'll evolve, he'll change, but I think this is where he's at now, and I feel like it's go him. I love it.
Yeah,
I wish I was...
Yeah, I was having this conversation with someone. They're like, is it always going to be a huge act or a huge stunt with his music videos and his musics and his performances where his sexuality is like right on the forefront of it all? And whether it is or it isn't, the good thing for him is that he does have that talent to back him. His music's incredible. His artistry is amazing. And I think, yeah, he's so young and he's so new in his journey with his stardom and being a celebrity. 5 seconds ago, he wasn't even into fashion, and now he's a fashion icon.
Well, that's
and
because he's got budget.
Exactly, he's got budget, and now it's like, when he came out, it was like, whoa, this is such a big deal. And I think it was his moment of, like, embracing it. And then, you know, he's going to ride the wave. And then it's, yeah, it's just going to be
I hope. No, I'm here for it. And I agree with every single thing you said. I just wish somebody would have
warned
me earlier. I'm just being protective of him.
Love him.
And I love him. Still ahead, an interview with Milo Ventimiglia and his short shorts. Plus, JoJo Siwa celebrates not one, but 4 anniversaries. Is it too much? Next.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and 3-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
It's time for a pop of love. Planning the perfect anniversary can be tough, I heard. So planning 4 must be downright exhausting. But apparently JoJo Siwa is up for the challenge. Listen to what she told Jimmy Fallon.
Yesterday was your anniversary?
One of them. Yesterday was the anniversary of that day when I asked Kai to be my girlfriend. We actually celebrate 4 days, though. When Kai asked me to be girlfriend, when I asked Kai to be girlfriend, when we told each other that we liked each other, and when we kissed for the first time.
Ah! Wow.
That's some young
Yes, thank you.
That's thank like when you're under 20 and think it's cute, and then in 5 years you're like, I don't even remember this. Uh-huh. And I have an apple in my hand, just so everyone knows. I need to eat.
I feel like y'all are both the type that, like, the anniversary where we were dating, the anniversary we got engaged, anniversary on which we got married. I know that's you.
We just, okay, so obviously we just got married at the top of the year. So this is our first year of, like, not celebrating. Well, we did celebrate our dating anniversary that was, like, a week ago.
Oh, my God.
We went to dinner.
What? Are you joking?
Know. Oh, my God. Okay. It's all so new that I'm like, do we still celebrate it?
No.
We so I just can't not acknowledge it. We went to dinner for our dating anniversary, and I made him a little bracelet. And then
no, Erin, I had morning sickness Wednesday. I'm not doing it again today. Are you kidding?
But then our engagement anniversary is like next week. But we're obviously not going to celebrate that because
you should celebrate that more than your
really.
Yes. Can you? You.
But it's like, the first year marriage.
But okay.
This is what they
here's
do.
Here's the thing. We got married before we even came up on our engagement anniversary that people usually like acknowledge and whatever. So I don't. I think we'll just be like, cool.
You know, you should celebrate
anniversary.
Valentine's Day, your wedding anniversary.
And our child's
and your child, and that's really the end of that. That's what you should celebrate.
I think this will be the last time we celebrate our dating anniversary.
Yeah.
But honestly, it was just an excuse to go out to a great dinner.
I agree. And I also think by that, it's the last time you're going to have like time to do all of these things.
So, I am JoJo Siwa,
I do think
basically.
It's important, though, that you do celebrate those milestones. I think you have to give men pinpoints in life. Because if we think that life is just one big evolving circle and there's no, like, end point that we can race to, I think we get a little confused.
So,
honestly.
How are you in relationships, Justine? Do you want to celebrate all your milestones?
No, I think every week is a milestone with me. Ooh. Honey, we make it to month six. We are celebrating that, okay? Every day is a celebration.
Truly.
But I never get to, I honestly will eject out of a relationship.
Eject.
If I don't think it's going to go
like
the.
Pushing a button.
Of course. Oh, I will literally go gadget out of this thing if I know it's not going to go anywhere because I don't want to waste my time or theirs.
I think we need to get a matchmaker.
I think I need to get a therapist.
Irina
Shayk and Bradley Cooper don't need a nanny. She told High Snobriety they're totally hands-on.
Live. Oh,
and Bradley so dialed in that when he took their daughter, Leah, on a two-week trip, Irina didn't even call to check in. Lies. Does it shock you when famous people don't have a nanny?
Hands-on, right?
Hands-on.
Get it? Because the Mac. Anyway, thanks, guys. What was the question?
Are you surprised that she doesn't have a nanny?
I couldn't function without my nanny. Shout out to Nadine.
It's so crazy that famous people like to hide that they have help. It's weird.
You really think that they're hiding? Because I'm kind of not surprised with some of the celebrities that don't have nannies.
So when she went to the Met, which I don't think she's lying, but like when she went, you need help, another person, because when she goes to the Met or she goes to France with Kanye,
you're going to
need. Is she always
help
with Bradley? Because Bradley's at the US Open with Brad. So are they just swapping every day?
This is what I think happens. It's a cultural thing. If I had 7 kids, 4 jobs, and all the money in the world, if I told my mother that my nanny was watching my kids, she would literally shame me to death.
It's true. It's
because
really...
it's a Black thing. A Russian thing as well is you don't get a nanny. You have to raise your own children.
No, my mom's the same way. It's hard.
But it's okay if you get a family member who you hire to watch your children.
But you're an occasional babysitter, right?
But you'll learn this when you have children. For some reason, your mom has had 3 children, but your child, she's not gonna have any clue what to do. Like, they for some reason, it's like a completely different time when you were born, and like they did everything completely differently. So you need like a professional person to be like, it's this time she's gotta go down. It's this milestone, she's gotta sleep on her stomach.
Oh no, like, I'm sending her to parenting classes and she's gonna be ready. I am banking on the fact that she's gonna be ready for these phone calls. I'm like, I need you to come right now.
Yeah. It's crazy, though. It's just everything was done so differently, so it's almost better to not rely on your... It's nice to have them.
For sure.
Like, my mom has to watch Ro right now because my nanny has to go to the dentist, which I was like, well, what do you mean, the
Damn,
dentist?
Your nannies have better PPO than me.
Oh, no, yeah.
A full-on plan.
Getting back to the nanny thing, I just feel like sometimes celebrities like to be like, I do it all myself. I'm a hands-on mom, blah, 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 blah. And they try to portray that Jennifer Garner thing, which I know that there's a woman hiding in there that's helping her out because she is a busy woman. She is on movie sets. She is filming Capital One commercials. 3 kids is a lot, but I she doesn't present herself
as
she doesn't present herself as I don't have any help, but I think that the image that we have of her is that she is a hands-on mom. So every other celebrity thinks they have to be that person when we know you're not.
But do you think you can straight up lie and say you do not have a nanny?
I don't think she's lying.
Straight up lie and say they didn't have a nanny. Well, not nanny. No. They didn't lie. What they said was, I don't have a nanny. But you have a housekeeper who doubles as childcare.
I think Irina does it all. She was so real in that interview that she was even talking about the times where she's crying and she's like, I don't know how I'm going to do it.
Oh, Erin, that's like 101 real. Like, everyone says they're crying and having a rough day. That's like how you get people to think you're relatable. Oh, come on, Erin, you've been here long enough.
Get ready for some major surprises at the Emmys this weekend while we slap Erin into reality.
Yeah. She's so real. She cries.
I cried this morning because I couldn't put an eyelash on myself.
I cried this morning when I drove in and just was on this car, like praying away.
I'm trying to keep the audience grounded here.
I was literally, I pray in my car.
He couldn't get out of the car. He was like, it's not today.
Get to break. Matt James is coming up.
More apples for me.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
It's just 2 days to the Emmys, and of course we want to know who's gonna win. Ooh. So Rotten Tomatoes editor Jacqueline Coley is here with some answers.
Hello.
All right, let's just get into the big category, yes. Dramatic actor in a drama series.
I have to say, the Television Academy absolutely loves The Crown, so I think it's gonna be Josh O'Connor.
Really?
And I'm sorry to say, because Billy Porter is amazing, but I just feel like he is the one that Charles and Diana storyline just riveted everyone, and everyone has royal fever right now.
Okay, first of all, I am the person that has royal fever, but do you think he's the most deserving of this, or would you go someone else?
Honestly, I think he is most deserving of it.
Really?
Because that was so hard to bring some, I think, humanity as well as fierceness to that story that we all already know so well.
Also hot, right?
Yes, I mean, literally, girl. I've seen him in person. They make him look a lot worse in that show than he is. He is so fine.
So fine. I was single and I followed him on Instagram. They're gonna be like, this is not what the show. Okay.
I know.
But he's so, Josh O'Connor, I'm like, damn, and cool style.
Yes.
Okay. What about best actress in a drama? Are we going to stick to the royal theme? What's happening?
Yeah, we're going to stick to the royal theme, too. Yeah, I think there's going to be two incredible Diana performances this year between Kristen Stewart and also Emma Corrin for The Crown. That story where she sort of embodies Diana's wide-eyed wonderment to the point where she says that I have to leave is just such an incredible portrayal. One of the best portrayals of Diana we have seen to this day,
right,
until Kristen Stewart came along and gave us another
great
one.
Have you seen the... So it's incredible?
Incredible.
Okay.
It's a movie that I think a lot of folks are going to be maybe a bit divisive on, but for right now with Emmys, let's just go with Emma.
Okay, I have to tell you something between us girls. No one else is here. Erin doesn't like The Crown.
I'm not a huge Crown girl. I'm sorry. I've tried it multiple times. I rewatched multiple episodes, and it's kind for me. It's a snooze fest.
Can you believe this?
Really?
Can you believe I have to deal with this?
It, so that's why I'm surprised that you did not say Billy Porter or MJ Rodriguez with that historic nomination and that performance and the farewell to the show.
I will say that this was where I think there could be an upset. If there's going to be an upset, it will be MJ for being the first lead trans performer to be nominated in
but
this
not
category.
An upset even.
But I will say, favored upset, not an upset for deserving. MJ is more than deserving for what she put on screen and how they said goodbye to that incredible series.
Mm. Okay, wait, I'm going back to Diana, though, really quickly. Kay Stew, we've talked about this a little bit on the show. Is it, first of all, do you think people are going to be divisive because it's only focused on one particular day?
I don't want to spoil it
for
you.
Okay, don't spoil it, but do you think after watching the performance could get her an Oscar?
Absolutely.
Real, like
absolutely.
Win, nominated and win.
Nominated for sure, win is still open. Girl, don't get me in trouble.
I know.
okay, you're jumping ahead to Oscars and we need to get back to the Emmys.
I know. I'm like, girl, you can give me in trouble.
That was my producer, that was not my fault. It's all her fault. Okay, Erin, ask her your next question.
Best limited series, huge. Mm. Where is it going? We've got Queen's Gambit. There's WandaVision, Mayor of Easttown, who's got this?
Honestly, this category, I feel, is just a murderer's row of some of the most incredible television. Mm. Underground Railroad and I May Destroy You are also great. But I'm going to go with The Queen's Gambit. This
really?
Was sort of the favorite limited series. And although I feel like it has a lot more competition this time around than it did at the Globes, it's still that show that people really were fascinated with. It was that show that you told your friends at the water cooler of the internet to go watch.
It really exploded.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You are surprising me because I for sure thought you were going to say Mayor of Easttown, which was the biggest whodunit show out there.
Well, I will say this, where I think Mayor of Easttown is going to get their sort of day is actually going to be in the actor categories, with the fact that you're going to see Kate Winslet probably take the lead actress win over Anya Taylor-Joy, who has sort of swept the category until this point.
You think Anya's not going to,
I think Kate's going to win for best lead actress. I think Queen's Gambit is going to be the one that wins for series, and the Television Academy likes to do that a bit, where they sort of split between the two and spread it around.
Damn.
But I mean, did you see Kate turn into a full-on grandma detective lady with that accent?
She was so incredible in the show. And I mean, I still am not over, no spoilers, even though you probably should have seen it by now. But like when that guy was no longer, like just took him out, I was like, wait, what?
Yeah.
I do feel though that like Kate has very much gotten her roses and she's been such an accomplished, successful actor for so many years. So for like a breakout like Anya to come out, I want to see her kind of have her accolades. Because how many shows is Anya going to be a part of that like, I mean, she's going to have a big career, but you want to see the underdog take it, no?
I do think that, again, if you wanted to say this, it's even Money Girl. Like, I'm not kidding you. It is so hard to choose this category this year. You could pick Michaela Coel, but between Anya and Kate, it's a coin toss. I think that Kate has the better shot because Mare is the more recent performance, especially they can, like, really look at what she did on screen.
Right.
But it could be either one.
Damn, I'm so excited to see.
Oh, Jacqueline, we could obviously pick your brain all day and talk all the shows and movies even. Shoot. But thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
Guys, TV's biggest night is almost here. Tomorrow, join us for a special Emmys edition of Daily Pop at 11:30 a.m. Jacqueline will be back for that. Then on Sunday, the Emmys are on CBS at 8 p.m. Eastern. And we will have coverage all day here on E!, of course, starting at 4:30 Eastern. And after the break, we're hanging with Matt James, his plan to win that ballroom trophy, and how Rachel really feels about having him dance with another woman. That's next.
He got the rose, he got the girl, but can he get the trophy? Bachelor star Matt James is here with us. What's up?
Woo. What's going on?
Yo, on a scale from 1 to 10, how happy is your mom right now that you shaved that beard?
She liked it. She was, you know what? I don't know if she liked it or not. She'll just support me in anything I do. So she's just happy that I'm happy.
I feel like James Harden called you and was like, look, bro, I was here before you. Back up off my territory.
Yeah, right? He's like, please stop.
You know, I was getting stopped a decent amount, but it wasn't because people thought I was James Harden. They thought I was homeless. So it's nice that I'm getting left alone now.
Well, now you're clean shaven. You've got the suits going every week and the dancing shoes. How sore is your body? Because I know the training is so intense.
Yeah, I have so much respect for these pros who have the patience with someone like myself to just teach us and work through these growing pains of having to put on these tight shoes because I got bunions.
No,
hey, listen. It is what it is. I've embraced it. I've been icing my feet down after practice, so it's been a tough journey so far with the body aching.
I bet your girlfriend is so happy that you ain't got to come home with them claws on your feet now.
Yeah, is Rachel giving you the foot rubs after the shows? Like, how is the moral support going?
You know what? I actually got some coupons for Valentine's Day. And I have cashed in some of those massage coupons.
Okay.
Read the fine print, because mine used to say no feet involved.
Apparently, it's all inclusive for you.
Look.
Full body.
Full body. You have Caitlin Bristow. You have Hannah Brown. They both won that mirror ball. How are you going to keep the Bachelor Nation, you know, like keep the streak going? How are you going to do it?
You know, I'm just going to try to bring my best step with my best foot forward because I can't replicate and emulate what Caitlin did or what Hannah did because they're just stars in their own right. I'm just going to try to have fun, and I've got a great partner, and I think that she's going to, you know, she's made me look way better than I am at dancing, so I'm just going to continue to lean on her and have as much fun as possible with her.
Well, now that you've seen the competition, who's coming for you? Like, do you have, who's the biggest competition, would you say?
Melora, hands down.
Ooh.
Okay.
I would have went with JoJo Siwa.
Is a competitor. Same. She can dance too. I've got my eye on her.
Right?
There's the obvious front runners, like you got Suni, who can just, you know, she's coming off a great performance in Tokyo, and she's got talent. You know, she's a machine. She just cranks it out. And so I don't even peek into her practices because that's just intimidating.
Oh, damn.
Let me see what Laura's doing. I'm just like, whoa. So I'm putting in after hours just to make sure that I'm, you know, competitive.
That is amazing. Now, we have to know, what's harder, training for a marathon or training for that mirror ball?
The mirror ball, hands down. The
really?
Marathon stuff is like, you can kind of go at your own pace if you don't feel like doing something one day, but like with the dancing, it's if you're not on top of your steps, you're gonna look foolish. And I gotta represent the men in Bachelor Nation. You know, we haven't represented well. Joe's done a great job on the show. I know Sean and Nick did well, but if there's no trophy, then what are we doing, guys? I got to show up for Bachelor Nation.
So how nervous are you for Monday, and what are you doing to calm the nerves?
Besides foot rub.
my approach towards being nervous is like, if you do all the work necessary to prepare, then whatever happens, happens. So it's like, it's not like I'm nervous to mess up. It's like, I don't want to let my partner down because I know how much they've sacrificed to be here. And with all the accolades that Caitlin and Hannah have, you know, set the bar very high. So I just want to do well, like, and to ease the nerves, like I'll put some R&B music in before. So I'll listen to like Lauryn Hill or J. Cole before I step out there and just
nice.
Give me some serenity, you know?
Well, just make sure you show up on time, unlike Lauryn Hill, because we know she is notorious, okay? Last question I gotta ask you. You have to choose one. Donda or Certified Lover Boy?
Oh my gosh. All right, so I have something to say about this. How much time do we have? they're not even comparable.
Choose one. Certified Lover Boy or Donda, it's gonna say a lot about you.
I mean, for me, it's not even close. I gotta go Certified Lover Boy.
You are such a thought. I knew
Whoa!
It. I knew he was a thought. I knew it.
Are you serious? We could go into this, but I'm shocked,
listen,
Matt.
We're gonna call you. We're gonna call you later and talk about it, but I'm a Certified Lover Boy too. I'm such a thought.
Both of you thoughts. Both of you thoughts. Get your life together. Find Jesus.
You guys, season 30 of Dancing with the Stars premieres Monday on ABC. Check it out. Matt James is going to be twerking with bunions. Up next, Milo tells all. He's confessing the horrible reason. You guys, come back.
Just come on
back. We're talking
back.
To Milo.
Give us some
and we're
more
laughing
twerking.
At Matt James. Bridgerton is nominated for 12 Emmys this weekend, including Outstanding Drama Series. And Nicola Coughlan, otherwise known as Lady Whistledown, was blown away when she found out.
When you're making a show, you hope and dream, you go, wouldn't it be amazing to get nominated for Emmys? But when 12 nominations come through, it's beyond, and we're really honored by it. And it means so much when your peers recognize what you do and enjoy it. It's very special.
Lady Whistledown has gone too far this time.
And I thought you were her greatest admirer.
Not when she's smeared the name of my greatest friend. When we uncover Whistledown's identity, we will convince her to publish a retraction and restore your family's reputation.
I love a red carpet, so I'm excited to see everyone dressed up. I'm really rooting for MJ Rodriguez from Pose because I think she's so inspiring. She's phenomenal. I'm so happy she's been nominated and I'd love to see her win. Emma Corrin as well, phenomenal. There's a lot of really strong women in that category, but yeah, I'm excited to see everyone dressed up. Even if I am in my PJs, I'll still enjoy seeing them dressed up.
She's so cute.
So cute. She's beautiful. Good makeup.
Can you imagine being nominated for an Emmy?
You know, it's on my vision board.
Is it?
It's on the board. The
it's
trophy.
On the board.
Spoiler alert, we were. Milo Ventimiglia is up for an Emmy, too, for This Is Us. Aaron just talked to him all about that and got his last name right.
We talked about podcasts, blah, 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 but mainly the shorts, the tiny shorts.
Get to the shorts.
First of all, congrats on all of the things. This Is Us is nominated for an Emmy. What is it like to be nominated this year?
It's always exciting to be recognized, and in particular to be recognized as a group. It's nice that 5 years deep going into last season, it's still recognition.
You guys are shooting your new season, the final season. Be honest, who cried the most?
No tears yet. Hearing about the end, knowing about the end, yep, there's gonna be a lot of tears, but I'm grateful.
Okay, this season I'm sure is full of surprises and you guys are always tight-lipped, but please just give me something to hold on to. Tease anything.
You just gotta wait until they're out. Yeah, this is horrible. You're right. I'm super tight-lipped. I don't really talk about it. I will say, you know, sometimes a show will be on for like 2 episodes, then it's off for 3 weeks, then it's on for 4, then it's off for 7 weeks. Now this is straight through, I think, just about 18 episodes, which is kind of remarkable. Wow. So I think that's something to look forward to.
Just perfect weather.
Perfect weather for who?
For football. Steelers always have an advantage in the snow.
All right, you need to tell me about this new podcast, Strawberry Spring, which is based on Stephen King's Night Shift. Tell me all about it.
I'm a huge Stephen King fan, kind of grew up seeing his books around my parents' house all the time and was a little too afraid to pick him up just because he's the king of horror.
And it had to feel nice to just show up to work in sweats every day and not get camera ready.
I mean, listen, Aaron, you know that I'm always going to be presentable and camera ready no matter what. Like, I mean, pants, like I'm wearing pants now. We're doing a Zoom interview and I'm like fully clothed normal. Like I got pants on, I got a collared shirt on. I knew I was talking to Aaron. I was like, all right, cool. Let's be presentable for Aaron.
So did the short shorts make it to work? You know the ones I'm talking about.
Yeah, those short shorts, like they only come out at the gym. That's it.
How did that feel being a part of pop cultural history with that viral moment?
The wild part was the follow-up that had happened because of that. I mean, literally, like, I'm a guy who was just leaving the gym. And then you talk to the New York Times about short shorts, and GQ is asking you questions about it, and you kind of proclaim it's short, short summer. It's like, holy God, this is insane. This is crazy. It's all uncomfortable for me, the attention, but at the same time, I'm glad that it inspired a lot of people.
Yeah, you definitely inspired a lot of people for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Milo's audio podcast, Strawberry Spring, drops every Wednesday on all streaming platforms. Coming up, Chef Serena Wolf joins us live to show us how to whip up some food to get you in the mood.
Ooh.
Don't go anywhere.
Ooh.
Don't you should do this.
I'm turning into...
If you want to get some action in the bedroom, you got to work for it in the kitchen. Here to show us two easy date night recipes is chef and cookbook author Serena Wolf, everybody.
All right. And if you guys want to make this recipe at home, you can scan that QR code. All right, what are we cooking up first?
We are going to sear some scallops.
Ooh.
So the first thing, this is really easy.
Ambitious,
yeah. Really easy. Usually we're gonna add the butter to the pan.
Yes.
We're gonna let this melt for a hot second. We're also gonna add a tiny bit of oil, not the whole thing, just a little drizzle here. And I want you to use your tongs. And typically when we're searing scallops at home, I always recommend getting a sous chef involved. That can be who you're cooking for. They fan the smoke alarm, open all the windows, make sure that you're not gonna smoke things out here. Mm-hmm.
Do cats count as sous chef?
Yes, definitely.
Cats and plants.
Yeah.
And once this is all melty, we're almost there, we're gonna pick up our scallops with the tongs. These we patted really dry so we can get that awesome crust on them. We're just gonna add the scallops in here. You hear that little sear,
uh-huh,
right?
I can do it.
Oh yeah.
We're being honest, we want a little bit more of that sound typically, but we're gonna let these go for a good 90 seconds while we make the side dish.
Okay.
The secret is don't touch them.
Okay.
We're not gonna touch them for the full 90 seconds. You must resist the urge to move them in the pan. That's
right.
How we get the crust.
Okay.
Side dish, we're making a really simple couscous salad. So I want you to add your couscous over here into this mixing bowl.
Mm-hmm.
And then we're gonna dress this up with some red onion. You're just gonna add all of these little toppings in here. Cucumber that we've got as well. Kind of lift that out of the water. We don't need all of those. And then we're gonna add oranges. This is giving us some sweetness.
Ooh,
we've got all kinds of textures in here, which is good. We also want some toasted pistachios. Keep in mind, couscous cooks in 5 minutes. So next time you need like a super easy side,
make
some couscous. Little bit of lemon juice in here too. And I see you have salt and pepper, so we're gonna add a pinch of that for seasonings. And then just get in there, use your fork down here and fold everything together while we wait on these scallops. So just
kind
that's
beautiful.
Move it around. Really bright and colorful.
Nice.
And then You can give that a taste if you want. You can season it up with a little extra salt and pepper. I'm going to throw some more pistachios on top.
Oh, wow.
Get some parsley in there, mm-hmm. too. You could use chives, any herbs you want. We got lots Yum. Of things. This is very much a work with what you have, too. Like, if you have grapefruit at home That's or you want to use shallots, you do you is my philosophy in the kitchen and in life. We got to work
There's
with what we got.
There's a lot of texture
Always.
Here, too.
That lots is so of texture. Refreshing.
So we're going to wait wow. for the scallops. Then we're gonna flip them and like, let's give it 30 more seconds. We're gonna start on this other dish over here. We have a chicken paillard with a cherry tomato, corn, and avocado relish. Mm-hmm. Basically like a little salad on top of your chicken. You could also serve it on top of a grain if you want. We have grilled chicken here. Marinated, yes. lemon, olive oil, shallot, garlic, some crushed red pepper. Really simple. Then we are going to add cherry tomatoes into this little mixing bowl here.
Okay.
And some corn. I use fresh corn that I just like cooked in a skillet until it was lightly brown. You could use canned corn, frozen corn. You want to keep things easy?
No.
And then, no, we do no. the fancy stuff. We're no gonna shuck our own corn and slice it from the cob.
Don't tell that to
Basil.
Me.
Basil in there too. And then you have an avocado pit, which is keeping your avocado green, but I want you to take that out. Unless you want
Does
to
that really
that.
Do that?
It, ish, but it helps a little bit.
Should we flip before
and
we add this in?
Let's flip these. We need them a little bit more brown, but they're getting there. We're gonna let these go for another while we just finish up. Ooh, look at yours.
Mine are good.
Yours are good.
Wow, look at what?
Oh, yours
Mine
are good,
really
too.
Good.
Good too. You guys are showing me up.
Things
here.
Hot.
I mean, my hot plate is a little janky. It's a little hotter than normal.
And then get your avocado in here so that we can just give this a quick mix. You can use the fork from your couscous if you want. We're just gonna fold this all together, add a little bit of the lemon juice mm-hmm. that's over here, just to brighten things up. You could use lime juice. You could also use a balsamic vinegar if you like.
I would use the balsamic just yeah. for a little bit more taste.
Delicious.
This
and then
beautiful.
We're gonna plate this just by pouring it right on top of our chicken here.
Okay, this is so
Look how
pretty.
Fresh and beautiful. Wow. It looks very impressive. And you can pull both of these off in 30 minutes.
I
start to finish.
Love this.
We just did it under five
we
minutes,
did it.
So.
Right.
Look at us.
Now we gotta taste these scallops.
Taste them. You can put them right on top. We also have some finished ones here. So you have one. Where's your scallops hiding? Yes, right in the here. Front. Pop that right on top of your couscous.
Oh, you put it on top of the couscous?
Yes, you put it on top of the couscous.
Oh, you put it in the couscous?
Yes.
Oh my God.
So you have like a little fresh
salad. Is there a way to know that it is like cooked
and ready? That is cooked through because we just want some browning on the outside and then they shouldn't be completely opaque. We want them to have like a little bit of pink in the center.
Amazing.
This is amazing. Where can people find these recipes?
They can find these in my cookbooks, The Do Diet and The Do Diet Dinner Time, on domesticate-me.com and on Instagram. I'm at Serena G. Wolf.
Wow. Oh my God, you guys. Thank you for coming. This is delicious. We'll be right back with more Daily Pop after I finish eating these scallops. This is amazing.
You made this tonight.
I got a tape with a young lady that was with R. Kelly at the time. It got ugly. Some authorities got involved. They called me while I was on the way to the audition and, you know, said this can happen and that can happen if you have this tape in your possession. Being a talk show host, I got accused of some things. It really hurt me.
That is Kim Whitley on TV One's autobiographical series, Uncensored. It is Friday. Thank you, Tom. Thank you. It's airing this Sunday. Kim is back as our guest host on Monday.
Ooh.
So we'll get all this tea.
We love Kim.
We love Kim.
Love him. And
we love Kim and we love the word autobiographical.
Yes, we do. Oh, killed it that time. You go, girl.
We always love to end our week with some feel-good Friday stories, y'all. Starting with Stormy crashing Kylie's Instagram video. Watch Stormy mock her mom while she's trying to promote her new swimwear line.
I'm just really excited. I'm getting so many compliments.
Mommy,
on...
can you do some funny things?
Yes.
I'm wearing Kylie Jenner.
What?
Same.
What?
Kylie Jenner.
How cute is that?
That baby, I cannot handle Stormy. It's weird that a baby is that cute.
And your baby's gonna be at that age where it's mocking you when you're promoting some stuff.
By the way, happening soon, 7 months yesterday.
Wow. And you're already pregnant?
Mm-hmm.
Damn.
She's gonna have two.
You know what it's called? Efficiency.
There we go. That's what we're calling it.
You know what? It's called food to get you in the mood. She must be cooking them scallops.
Hey.
You guys, make sure to join us tomorrow for a special Emmys edition of Daily Pop at 11:30. And set your DVR because next week is going to be crazy. Rihanna, Tyra Banks, they're all here. We'll see you guys on Saturday.
Bye.